Let's go to Proverbs 22. And verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And so last week we began a study about the nature of a child. And I chased so many rabbits we didn't get very far. But we said that the nature of a child is, first of all, we talked about that he or she is sinful. And we need to approach child raising, understanding that a child is a descendant of Adam, that rebellion is natural, and it needs to be dealt with. Talked about the fact that not only do children need correction, but in the end result should be that they receive conversion. And then we just started into the second trait of a child, and that a child is simple. And doesn't mean that just the age, I guess, because there's lots of older people that are simple. But a child is simple largely due to his inexperience, and he learns as he goes along, and the parent has a wonderful opportunity to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. So we talked about how that inexperience has kept him from, it keeps him simple. And then another part of simpleness is that most children, when they view the world, they view the world in what we would call rose-colored glasses. Their imaginations are filled with fairy tales, and they were happily ever after. But when you come to Proverbs paints life not as we'd like it to be, and not with rose-colored glasses. But Proverbs paints life as it is, and that we need to expect our children are going to be simple, and they need to be taught. Look in Proverbs 17 and verse 8. Let's look in Proverbs 13:23. Proverbs 13:23 says this. It says, "Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that destroy for want of judgment." Simply saying that there needs to be some discernment and to teach our children discernment. In chapter 14 and verse 20, the poor is hated even in his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. And what we are getting at is that Proverbs gives us a real good dose of reality, and that poor and being wealthy, there's a great contrast there. And he's saying here in verse 20 again, the poor is hated, even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. And so someplace in life, you know, we want to sometimes make it easy for our kids, and we want to try to give them their best. But someplace in life, they need to understand that life is hard, life is work, life is going to result in heartaches, and to know that in the final end, the only thing that really matters is our relationship with the Lord, because to have Him is to have life, and that if we put our hope If a child puts his hope in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to end up suffering. I'm wanting to get on down the road here, but so I'm going to skip some things. But not only is a child simple in his thinking, but also he's, and this kind of goes together, he's a, you know, a child is childish. And there's a number of things we'll look at. But first of all, when we talk about a child being childish, he's impulsive. And what I mean by that is that, you know, when we may be plagued with trying to weigh things out and make a decision, a child makes a decision, say, come on, let's get going. I mean, he knows what he wants. It looks good to him. He can't see the whole picture. And so he's wanting to make a decision and get going. But to act too quickly can bring problems. And he need to understand he's impulsive. Look in chapter 7 of Proverbs and verse 22 and 23 concerning childish nature in being lured by the opposite sex. It talks about with her fair speech she caused to yield him to yield in verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteneth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. And so, though it's talking about sex here, it gives a pretty good illustration of a child in that he's just going on down the road. You know, it's like you're leading an ox into the slaughterhouse. He's just going along. And as a fool, you know, he goes to the stocks because he's been a fool that is to be put in a place of punishment. But the idea is that they're straight way, they're impulsive. Proverbs 14 says that a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but fools rageth and is confident. And so when you have it, your child is going to be very confident. They know that this is right. They know they can do this. And it's a impulsiveness that needs to be dealt with. Also, the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. He that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. So, he's impulsive. Also, a child, he's insensitive to danger. I think that when Caleb went to help Pastor move up here, where they stopped someplace in Canada, and Clayton ran and launched himself. I guess he thought he could fly and smacked himself really good, insensitive to danger. And we need to, as parents, help them in that. A prudent man, 27:12 of Proverbs, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but a simple man pass on and is punished. And so a child is not going to see the danger of playing in the street and actually how that's going to be dealt with. If you don't see the danger of playing in the street, you need to have... If he can't fear playing in the street, then he needs to be made to fear something more important than that or more painful than that. Because, you know, the ball bounces good on the pavement. And there's no rocks in the way, you know. And it's a good place to play. And they're not going to be reasoned out of that. And so what you have to do is say, okay, if you're going to play in the street, you're going to get your little rear end spanked. And the pain, you know, they're not completely stupid. They understand that the pain of that results from me playing in the street is not worth me playing in the street. at least sometimes. So, sometimes, you know, they weigh it out and say, you know, the spanking is worth it. I got to do that. But Proverbs abounds in warnings about evil companions, about adulterous women, about becoming surety, about controlling your temper. And those all deal with insensitivity to danger. I don't even know how to write this one down. It's a child. He's I guess gullible might be a good term. A child is gullible. Look over in 14 and 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Children are prone to follow adult authority. They're prone to follow almost anyone, and they often, that's why some are often kidnapped, because they've not been taught. And I think we're more conscious of that now than ever before in society. But the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. And so I think that when we look at this verse here, when it talks about the simple believeth every word, it's not saying the child. So why do men and women grow up being simple and believing every word? Because the parent dropped the ball. And the parent needs to deal with children in their simplicity. Okay? To be childish is to be undisciplined. And that doesn't mean that he's without spankings, but it means that he's not disciplined in life. A child avoids, you know, pain to pursue pleasure, and so we need to put some restrictions on him. Undisciplined. If you let a child just do what he wants to do, I'm sure that he would choose staying up all night and watching TV instead of going to bed. But eventually, he's going to have to learn self-control, that he needs to deny himself of pleasures for the moment. A wise parent will teach a child about the benefits of self-control and will allow him to make more decisions as he grows up, praising the good decisions and pointing out the painful consequences of the bad one. The proverb says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." And so we need to help them rule their spirit and that to be able to be slow to anger, to have a control over himself. We have a new guy at Food Bank. He's been there almost a month, and I trained him to drive. And he's maybe early 20s. And I went into work the other day, and one of my drivers had a bad back. And he didn't know if he could make it, but he said, "I'll go see if I can work it out." So he worked out all right. And I came back from my run, and this young guy's truck is in the warehouse, but he hadn't unloaded it. So I asked, "Where's he at?" And he said, "Well, he's up talking to the boss." And I said, "Well, he should unload his truck." And so one thing turned into another thing, and finally, they spilled the beans, and he went over to Safeway to pick up groceries at Safeway. And when he was at Safeway, there was a Safeway east side of town, and there was a guy there with a dog, and he was kind of yanking his dog around, treating the dog unfairly, or I guess that's a judgment call. If he's my dog, I guess I can treat him like I want to, but you ought to be, the Bible does talk about taking care of your animals. But so some words were exchanged, and he punches the guy. So here's my food bank driver at Safeway punching a guy out over a dog. And so he's upstairs talking to the boss. And she sends him over to the police station, and they, I guess they forget it and send him back. But you see, that's got to be nipped very early in life. That the ability to, you know, we talk about, well, he gets angry real fast. Well, there's nothing wrong with getting angry. But there is something wrong with not being slow to anger. There is something wrong with not controlling your anger. And I just imagine that you could trace all that activity back to his raising. And you can't let that go on. You can't, they're very undisciplined. Children are undisciplined. If you think that they're just going to naturally pop out of bed and make up their bed and put all their dirty clothes in the hamper, then you're undisciplined. You don't get it. They have to be trained to do that. And discipline, you know, will really do damage to our children by not teaching them discipline and trying to bring them to a point where they discipline their own lives. And so we're dealing, I guess I'm just going through all this and saying that you know, someplace in life I found out that all of my 8 little angels sprouted horns instead of wings. They're undisciplined. And we need help. They need help. The Bible says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Hast thou found money? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomited. Well, anyway, they're undisciplined, and they need help. And along with that, being undisciplined, they're not going to appreciate your discipline. They don't like that. Punishment for the moment is very grievous to a child. But it brings great benefits. Look over in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And so there's going to be sometimes the despising of discipline. He that spareth the rod, in 13:24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And so they don't appreciate discipline. And then another thing about being childish is that they don't understand the value of different things. You know, until they learn, if a child has a quarter. And you say, hey, listen, I'll give you 10 of these nice, shiny pennies. Look, you're going to get 10 for one, then, or to give them 10 pennies for 2 dimes. You only got 2 of those little, you know. Look, these are smaller. These are bigger. They're a different color, yeah, but these are bigger, and these are smaller. I'll give you 10 of these big ones for 2 of those little ones. Good deal. But they don't discern value. Look in 16 and 16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver. And so they need to understand that some things are more valuable than monetary things. And then, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivered from death. Look in, we're in 15 here, and 15, close to 15, and verse 16 and 17. Better is a little with fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. And so, you know, they need to be instructed about the goal in life. And what should we shoot for? You know, should we just shoot for, have a little cottage and a picket fence in front and a nice garden in the back? And, you know, what is it that we ought to direct our children towards? And the fear of the Lord. To fear the Lord is, in the end, to have everything. Okay, let me kind of wrap this up here. The Proverbs has a great deal to say about parent and child relationships. And one of the things that Proverbs does is that it gives hope to the parents. It gives hope to them that in this process that there can be success, that there can be a blessings. It just needs to be followed. I'll get on that next week. There's hope, I guess, in raising your children. Sometimes I think you wonder, like Susie was telling me, she's been down there for 3 weeks with my grandkids, and she comes back and tells me, listen, we better get a plan because I'm not going to go live with my children. The fact that God designed it that young people should raise children, I guess. But there's going to be, what was happening is Ada's going through a little phase, and her daddy told her to, go upstairs and get ready for bed. And she doesn't say it in a very, didn't reply in a nasty way, but she just says, no, I don't want to. You say, go upstairs and get ready. No, I don't want to do that. And so, as a result of that, you know, when you have one of those, and Susie said that she had a couple of bouts with her too, and of course a new baby's coming in, and we can make all those excuses for their whole atmosphere's changed there. But some of your children are going to be easier to raise, and some are going to be harder to raise. And you need to get a backbone. How come he's looking over there to them? Whose face is getting red? You're looking. that's a poor time to leave, Megan. And so, a resolution. But Proverbs offers hope. Though children have a free choice, they can follow godly advice. Proverbs reminds us that the duty of the parents is to point them to righteousness. God has a plan for producing a godly generation. And that plan is that he wants to produce a godly generation through godly parents who train up their children according to the Word of God. And not according to psychology, not according to how others have done it, but according to the Word of God. Secondly, I think that, you know, we talked about them in simple and childish, and our text was that where foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it from him. Though children are very foolish, they're not fools. And children can and will learn. And so Proverbs never ever calls a child a fool, but it does say that some of the things that they do is foolish. And we have the hope for that. In Proverbs 17 and verse 21, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and a father of a fool hath no joy. Well, listen, it's not talking here about mental retardation, but it's talking about the fact that this child must have been left to himself. And in the end, if you don't deal with it, there's going to be sorrow. There's going to be no joy when you look at your children. Also, I think children, we need to understand that children must be given time and training for maturity. Proverbs, as it distinguishes between being a fool and action that is foolish, it also distinguishes between being a child and being godly. And so a child needs some time. A child must come to the place to accept or reject the fear of the Lord. A child can choose a path of wisdom and become mature, or he can choose not to. And so I think that this thing about having time to mature, it opens up some real opportunities to err. And it's interesting to me about myself and then about other individuals that I can look back and see today. But it's interesting to me how people who have no children are got PhD in child raising. You know, before I had children, I see these kids with snot running down their face, and I said, boy, when I have children, they're never going to have snot all over their face. Well, I was being foolish. I mean, you don't always catch it. You've got to, if your children aren't going to have sometimes snot running down their faces as little kids, then you're going to have to follow around all the time. And so there's a time, and there's potential for a lot of error. And let me just use this illustration where I'm trying to get it to go. But I think there's a real danger in child raising to tell a child to do something and they say, why? And you said, because I said so. And there's a fine line there that you need to get a hold of. When my kids were little and we just had that building over there and it had been 40 below for 2 weeks, then I would bring them over to the church and we would just run around the church. They would just run up and down the pews. We would get the exercise in and we would try to wear them down and I'd do stupid things with them. And on Sunday, then, when we had church, they could not run up and down the pews. And I would have to say to them, Don't do that. You know, come over here and sit down. Don't be running around. Well, we just weren't around yesterday. It was Saturday. So there is a point where you have to say, don't do it because I said so. Especially when they're younger. But there has to come a point when I sit them down and say, okay, listen, here's what the deal is. We have visitors here today. We have ladies here with babies. We have older people here today. And when you're running up and down the pews here, you're going to bump into them. And you can hurt people. And there needs to be some respect given to people around you. Now, what we're doing is we're building a foundation and a thing into their life that they're going to understand when there's people around, that not only do I not run up and down the pews when we're having church services and people there, but I don't go to the mall and run up and down the mall because there are people there. We got to begin to build within them some principles so when they're older, they can make wise decisions. And you can't just be saying, because I told you so. I see that mistake often. And again, at a certain age, they don't going to understand it. I'm not answering to them. I'm not going to be just explaining everything. But we're trying to instill with them some guidelines for life. That it's not just the church, but it's every place that we respect other people. And so as we raise our children, There's a great hope that we can instill with them some not just rules, but some principles, some godly principles. And so the purpose of Proverbs, in a large extent, is to prepare a child to turn him loose, to give him freedom, to let him be on his own, to be able to open the door and let him out. Now, I think that at one time, and maybe still today, there were children within the religious, quote, religious homeschool movement that were sheltered to the point that when they were turned loose, they didn't know how to respond. And so, we have a rope, and sometimes, you know, what Susie used to call, I got a tomato stake 'em. And when you stake a tomato, you stake it real close to the stake. And sometimes your children's got to be tomato stake. And they sat right by mama, and they don't get up from mama. But the rope begins to be a little bit longer, and you let them out a little bit more, and you let them out a little bit more, and eventually you just take the rope off. Because what we're trying to instill within them is godly principles that govern their life. This book was given to us not only to bring us to the Lord, but that we might have good success. That life might be, that we can avoid the swamps and the ditches and the pitfalls of life. And so though children in Proverbs are childless, they don't have to remain a child. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And you don't have to walk up and down the streets of Fairbanks very long. You don't have to go to the workplace very long before you conclude that person didn't get enough spankings when he was young. And that their life is undisciplined. And it results in disaster. Disaster. When I first worked to work at Food Bank, after being there a while, I rode with this guy who he came on, and I rode with him, and he's born here in Alaska. He was a rebel, and he's come from a divorced family, and he pretty much did what he wanted to do, and about a year later, 2 years later, his son came to work. And his son, my history of him is that he's not married. He's got two illegitimate children that he's not really being a father to and not really even supporting financially. He would show up to work constantly late. They'd call the food bank a lot of times on his driving. He got fired. We needed another driver. He got a driver, and then later we were in really a bind, and both my boss and I went to bat for him and said he knows the routes, and he can drive the truck, and let's give him another try. And so the boss hired him, and that was the end of the week, and so he comes to work and he's doing fine. His dad had to be moved to Anchorage to be taken care of, and he was going to be able to move into his dad's house, and he had no expenses then because living with his dad in his dad's house, and he had a real opportunity to make something of his life. And when Monday come around, he never showed up for work. He slept in. He called and he slept in. And his life's a mess. He's 25, 26 years old. And he's heading down the tube. He's his own worst enemy. But it comes back to parental discipline. And he had none. And he's a disaster. And the only answer for him would ever be is that he needs to get saved. When I approached that subject, I didn't get very far either. So, let me see. I have a bunch of stuff here. I only got 5 minutes. Okay, next week, I kind of feel sorry when I start these lessons as pastor talk, but we're going to talk about the rod of correction next week. And when pastor taught on some of this, I noticed that terror began to reign over the children of our church. And so as we remind again about the rod of correction, it's a good reminder for us to step up. And one of the things we'll talk about next week is, why is it that we don't discipline as we should? Well, I think one of the main reasons is, mine are raised so I can say this. I won't have to say we now. One of the major reasons is you're lazy. You're lazy. And it's easier just to not be interrupted from what you're doing, and we let it go by. And then after next week, after getting through the rod of correction, I want to really talk about it at length. Should we discipline in anger? I've heard over and over and over and over that we shouldn't discipline in anger. Well, listen, if I'm happy, you're probably not going to get a spanking. Discipline in anger. I don't think that we should be abusive. I guarantee if you want to read the Bible, the Lord was angry when he disciplined. And he didn't wait around until he cooled off. He dealt with it. But it was righteous anger. And it wasn't uncontrolled anger. And it wasn't abusive anger. And so we're going to talk about that some also. And one of these days, you that are sitting out there and you know you're an expert on child raising, then you can stand up here and teach these lessons. But after you have a few, you'll understand it's only by the grace of God that they turn out to be anything.